We can open our Bibles again to that passage that we read, Jeremiah chapter 6, and then with the Word of God open before us, we'll bow briefly and we'll seek the help of God as we come to preach His precious Word this morning. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, we do come into Thy presence even at this point of the meeting, as we come now to the time when Thy Word is to be proclaimed. Lord, we recognize our dependence upon Thee. We recognize our need of Thee. And, O God, we ask for the infilling of Thy Holy Spirit. We pray that Thou wouldst take Thy Word, and that Thou wouldst bless it to each and every one who is gathered into Thy house today. We pray that Thy voice would be heard. And, O God, we pray that we would not be hearers only, but that we would be doers of Thy Word. Bless the Word to our hearts, we ask, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. The text that I want to set before you this morning, and also take as our motto text for the year of 2026, is found in the words of verse 16 of Jeremiah chapter 6. Those words, Jeremiah 6, verse 16, read, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." As we draw near to the 75th anniversary of the establishment of this denomination, the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, in March of this year, this text is one that is most relevant. It is most fitting as we remember not only remember and give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and mercy in raising up this gospel preaching church and preserving a remnant, a faithful remnant in days of apostasy and spiritual decline, but also as we consider the present day, where we stand today, and also as we look towards the future, this is a text to remember and to think upon. For its message is one that is of vital importance. You will find that in this world there is much that has changed. There is much that is continuing to change. Those changes, they seem to be happening quicker and quicker, especially with all the technological advances of our day and generation. But even in society, those changes, they are constant. You see that people will change, families will change, views, opinions will change, and traditions, whether they be family traditions or cultural or even national, they change. And sometimes even the church can change. And let me be clear that not every change in the church is wrong and sinful and therefore should be repudiated and rejected. Definitely not. There are some who would accuse those who are simply being biblical, of being against all change, whatever it is. But that's not factual, because there are clearly changes that are perfectly reasonable and acceptable to those who strive to be biblical. We've had an example of that here this morning in this house. We've had a change here in our service. We have retired, as it were, the old hymn book. We've changed to the new one that's just been released, just been printed. That's a change in the church. But it's not wrong. For the Bible does not say that thou shalt only ever use a particular edition of the hymn book. The church is at liberty to change the hymn book that it uses in public worship as long as what is contained in it, as long as that is governed by those scriptural principles regarding what is sung in worship to the Lord. But while some changes are acceptable, there are also changes that can come into a church that are problematic. Changes that are not for the better. changes that should be unwelcome and should be opposed. I'm thinking of doctrinal changes. I'm thinking of changes whereby the teaching of God's word, it's discarded. Changes that mean that the word of God, it's moved away from, and that which is of the world, it's brought in to take its place. Such changes are bad changes. What is more, they are out of order with God. And there is a solemn, there is a serious duty to contend earnestly against them. There's a battle to be fought against those who would seek to change the church in such a fashion. But whilst there is so much that changes in this world, and even in the church, how comforting, how reassuring it is to know and to be reminded that there's one thing that never changes, no matter what men may try to do, and it is God's precious word. It always remains the same. Isaiah chapter 40, the verse number 8, it tells you, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, there's changes that happen. But it says, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of God doesn't fade away. It doesn't wither. It doesn't change. It stands, remains the same, and it also always remains relevant. In these words in our text, in Jeremiah chapter 6, they were given to Jeremiah by the Lord thousands of years ago. But they are just as relevant to the people of God here in the 21st century. They are just as relevant to the Free Presbyterian Church, and they are just as relevant to us who have gathered here in Kilskerry this morning with the purpose of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And in the words of this text, you will see that here you have God's call not to change to something new, but rather to stick with, or if necessary, to return to something that is old. There are four thoughts that I want to set before you as we consider this, our motto text for 2026. My first thought is that there is a consideration that is called for. Let's look at the first part of the text. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. That opening little phrase, thus saith the Lord, makes it clear. This is the word of God. This isn't Jeremiah's thoughts or opinions. It's not his philosophy. It's not his message. Rather, it's the message that has been given to him, and it comes stamped with divine authority. You'll note the word ways in the text. Stand ye in the ways. And let me try and just give you a little idea of what that's speaking of. It's giving the idea of a road or a course of life. It's a pathway in life. And as you and I journey through life, there are different ways, there are different roads that you can travel. And in the case of our text, you find that it refers to the old paths. That's a way in life. That's the way of the Savior. It's the way of His Word. And that's where He wants the believer to be. That's where He wants this church to be. He wants it to be on the old paths, clinging tightly to them. And let me say clearly that the old paths, they're not outdated customs or merely old-fashioned ideas, but they are the ancient, the unchanging truth of God revealed in His Word, the doctrines, the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Let me also say that these paths, they are rooted in the living Word Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who declared, I am the way, the truth and the life. And therefore, to walk the old paths, it's not to walk in the pathway of the Free Presbyterian Church or of some other denomination, but rather to walk in the old paths, it is to walk in Christ Himself, in obedience to His Word and in submission to His Lordship. That, my friends, is the way that the Lord desires that you would travel. That's where He wants you to be. Think of those words, 1 John chapter 2. And verse number 3, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, John has just been speaking of the advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how He's the propitiation for our sins. Then in verse 3 he says, and hereby we do know that we know Him, It's the Lord Jesus. He says, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. That's where he wants you. He wants you to obey God's commandments. He wants you to obey and follow the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you following the way of the world. You look at verse 15 of the same chapter. John, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Lord doesn't want you traveling the way of the world or some other path. There are other paths which are not the old paths. There are other ways in life that are different roads. They bring you a different route. They bring you to a different destination. It's the way of the world. It's the way of those who say that God's word, it's not enough. It's the path of those who say maybe that God's worship is boring and it needs to be more exciting. It's a road of man's own construction. And here, if you go back to Jeremiah, in the context, Judah was traveling down the other road. They were traveling down a pathway of sinful disobedience to God that would eventually lead to judgment. Look at chapter 7, and I think it's verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 9 says there, will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Judah was on that other pathway, the way of the world, the way of sin, and it would lead to chastisement. But you note in our text what God says to Judah. And he doesn't just say it to them. He's recorded these words in this book for you and for this church and for every other church or denomination. He says that as you travel down the road that you're on, there firstly is to be a pausing. Look at what he says. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. That's the first thing. You're to stand or to pause. You're to halt your journey. You're to stop. It's a very difficult thing to do. In this modern society, everybody's rushing and trying to get somewhere as quick as possible. Nobody likes being perhaps maybe stuck behind a slow-moving vehicle driving down the road. If you're stuck behind a tractor or something, you just want to get past as quick as possible. When it comes to spiritual matters, there are many, and they're just assuming that everything's in order. They're blindly following the culture or the trends that have been set by others, or maybe just what others have said. They may even think in their own minds that they are on the old paths. Here in Judah, they were engaging in some form of worship. They thought they were following the Lord. But God says, stop. He says, stop, pause. That's the first thing. But then there is to be an examination. You look again at our text, you know what the Lord goes on to say. He says, stand ye in the ways and see. And see. There's God's call to look. God's call to examine. After stopping, pausing, there's to be a looking. It's very hard to carefully examine something if you're still moving. You need to stop. You need to focus on it. You need to carefully study it. And here there's to be a looking and examining of their way of life. In the words of Haggai, they are to consider their ways, their direction, their practices, their beliefs, their priorities. They're all to be looked at. But in order to know, in order to recognize that they had gone astray, they needed to look at themselves in the light of God's word. Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 20. Tells you there, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. That's the standard to use as you seek to identify whether or not you're going the right way. You don't turn to the court of public opinion, as so many tragically do. You don't look at what maybe people will say on social media or some other place. That's not the standard. Let me also say that other believers do not set the standard either. How often they themselves can go astray. They can wander away from the old paths. And if you examine yourself on the basis of the standard that they have set, then the natural consequence will be that you will follow them in the wrong direction. No, there must be a constant, continual coming back to God's word, for it alone is God's authoritative standard. And therefore everything, be it the worship of God, be it the doctrine that's believed and preached, be it the government of the church or the conduct of the individual believer or whatever else, it's all to be tried and tested by the word of God. And here in our text, the people of God, they are told they need to engage in self-examination. That's what needs to happen today. There needs to be an examining of the church as a whole. The church as a body needs to take on board the words of Lamentations chapter 3 and the verse number 40. Where Jeremiah, he writes there, he says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Those words need taken to heart. And when that examination, that searching, that trying of the ways takes place, there needs to be a resolving that if anything is found wanting, to turn to the Lord in repentance and put the matter right. Even if it means that it cuts across people's desires, people's preferences, historical precedents, or what's considered acceptable in society, it goes against God's word. And it must be turned from and repented of. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, teaches the same thing. Tells you there the way of the Lord's blessing. It says there, we'll read from verse 13. It says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." There's the way of blessing. There's to be that humbling. There's to be that praying, seeking the face of the Lord. But there's also then to be that turning from their wicked ways. But also the individual believer is commanded to examine themselves as well. That's a command of God. It's taught here, but it's also taught in the New Testament. You think of those words, 1 Corinthians 11 and the verse number 28. I want to take this opportunity to remind you of those words. For the Apostle Paul, he's dealing here with the Lord's table. And he says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." The Apostle Paul, he deals with the Lord's table. He deals with various problems that had arisen in Corinth. And he gives this instruction for self-examination before partaking, before participating in the Lord's Supper. Here in Kilskerry, that special time when we will observe the Lord's Supper, it will soon be upon us. When we'll gather around the table of the Lord to remember his death in his own appointed way. But God instructs you to examine yourself in preparation for it. And I urge you this morning to listen to his word and examine your own life, your own heart before the Lord. Examine it in light of Holy Scripture. And ask the Lord to reveal your sin to you. Reveal your shortcomings. It may be something that you've done. It may be something that you've said. It may be something maybe that you didn't do that you were supposed to do. But whatever it is, examine your heart. Search your heart and ask the Lord to reveal it to you and put that matter right. Put right that which is wrong. How the Scriptures can shed light on our situations. Psalm 119, verse 105. Says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word it illuminates, of course, with regards to doctrine. but it also illuminates with regards to your direction or your pathway in life. It's like a searchlight that is lighting up the way for you. My friends, this morning, we need to come before the Lord, and we need to engage in that scriptural self-examination. But then I want to note with you as well that there is to be an inquiry. For you'll note there in verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." Ask for the old paths. I'm sure you've encountered situations where the map, or maybe in the more modern day, the sat-nav or Google Maps has not been sufficient to get you to your destination. You've maybe been driving to some place and you find that you get to the area, but you can't. It's not taking you to the exact location you need to be. And consequently, you've had to ask some passerby or maybe call up to a house and ask them, "Do you know where such and such lives?" Or, "Do you know where such and such a place is?" You've had to inquire of them. Here God says that you're to ask for the old path. There's to be an inquiry made. The word ask, it implies humility. It acknowledges that you do not instinctively know the way. And therefore, there's a need to come to another and to seek direction. Just like the psalmist over in Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verses 4 to 5. You have here a psalm of David, a prayer of David. You have here the desire of his heart, Psalm 25, the verse number 4. It's a cry that we would do well to copy, to follow, to imitate. He says there, verse 4, Psalm 25, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Psalmist, he wanted to be shown the old paths, and he came to the Lord and he asked the Lord for them. And yes, you can seek direction from others who are on that path. You can ask them about the old paths. But best of all, you can approach the throne of grace. You can ask the Lord to teach you his way. You can come to him in the spirit of that verse, Psalm 119 and the verse 18. You can cry, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You can come to the Lord, asking him to teach you the way, to bring you to the old paths, to reveal his word to you, to instruct you in his statutes. This morning, if when you pause, you examine your life, you find that you're not on the old paths, you find that you're not walking in God's ways, and you need to come, and you need to seek the Lord. You need to ask him for the old paths. Maybe it's been the case that once you walked on them, once that was the road that you were traversing, but circumstances in your life have maybe changed and you've gradually drifted from that path. Maybe this morning, as you sit in God's house, you are pausing. You're considering your life. You're thinking of how you live your life. And you're weighing it all up in the balances of Scripture. And you've realized this morning, maybe for the first time, I'm not walking where the Lord would have me to walk. What you must do is you must come to him and you must ask him for the old paths. Ask him to direct you, to bring you back to that place where you ought to be. Remember, asking the Lord for the old paths is not just merely a moving or an act of resistance against error. But this coming back to the old paths, it's an act of repentance. It's an act of humility, renewed love for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7 and the verse number 3. These words, I remember reading them. I have them underlined in my Bible. I remember reading them during college. They struck me. Says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. There's the call to repentance. There's the call to come back to the old paths again. This morning, will you come back to them? I have three other points, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking that I'm not going to get through them. But what I think I will do is I'll come back this evening, and we'll conclude the message, for they are quite lengthy. But this morning, if you've drifted from the old paths, if you are not on that path, maybe this morning you're unsaved, you've never been on the old paths, you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, will you not come to the one who said in his word, I am the way. The Lord Jesus is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. There's no other path that you can be on, that you should be on. Because it's only that path of the Lord Jesus that will lead you to everlasting life. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts, and we'll conclude the message in full this evening. But we'll turn in our hymn books to the hymn number 498. I really wanted to close with this hymn this morning. Hymn number 498, found on page 366. I felt it tied in quite well with our first point. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford. Teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way. That's our desire. We want to be taught the way of the Lord. We want the Church of Christ as a whole to be taught the way of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to instruct us, to lead us, and to guide us to those old paths.